it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into a special edition of the CHGO Bears Podcast, and we are very excited about this because we are welcoming Bears tight end Cole Kmet.
Yes. Let's go. Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Wow, what a welcome.
To the CHGO family, Cole is going to be joining us throughout the season. We're very excited about this. Chicago guy, Chicago show here.
I'm excited. Yeah, this is going to be great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Got three cool dudes up here, so it should be a good time, and got all the merch and all that stuff going on, so yeah, I'm excited about it.
Well, we're super excited to have you, and I like the Chicago part of it, so, and just but behind the scenes, we're talking to Cole about just huge baseball guy,
yep.
Could have, I guess, been drafted by the White Sox, but obviously played at Notre Dame, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But you're like a diehard back in the day Cub fan. I mean, referencing favorite players, you mentioned Jock Jones. I mean, my God, I didn't know you had that in you.
Yeah, I mean, Jock Jones, Aramis Ramirez, Derek Lee. Yeah, all those guys, you know. Those are my favorites growing up.
Does that make you sick over there, Hogue?
A little bit, yeah. But I got nothing to say
about
it. I
mean, Jock Jones, you know, twin.
I think Jock Jones is killing the White Sox.
Killed the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
A lot.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's been well documented at this point, you know. Local kid who grew up here, mm-hmm. getting to play for the Bears. You've talked a lot about how special that is for you. Now you got your second contract with the team as well, and it's just cool to have you part of this CHGO family too, because that's what we do here is we try to capture the voice of the fans, and they are as passionate as ever with this team right now.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You're talking to Mayor Meatball Island, so you grew up a Bears fan.
Yep.
Rate your meatballery.
Yeah. Well, after talking to you, the meatballery is not up to your level for sure. I'd give it like
you're not
meatballery. Like my Mondays weren't affected by what would happen on Sunday. So I'm going to give it like a 5 out of 10, you know, definitely cheering it on. But I wasn't devastated going into Mondays.
You weren't smashing TVs or anything.
Yeah, like no, that wasn't happening. Okay. You know, now playing, that happens, but not as a fan. You know?
See, you got to be careful for different reasons. I mean, we talked about this off the air, but Carm basically got in a fight with Jalen Johnson at the Super Bowl last year over a LeBron-Michael Jordan argument.
That's different. That's personal.
you made it personal. Did he make it personal?
No, he was fine. I can't listen to somebody say anyone's better than Mike, let alone...
Right.
Well, I wouldn't even say let alone LeBron's got his own corner, although I would take Kobe over him. That's a whole other story for another day. But yeah, no, I just... You know, come on.
Yeah.
The greatest of... I look at Mike like the greatest to ever play anything in any sport is him.
Yeah.
And...
The GOAT.
I mean, come on.
No, I'm with you.
So that just... Yeah. I actually, like, thinking about your story, grow up here, Bears fan, did you want to get drafted? Or think of that might be a little bit too much to play in my hometown?
I didn't even think about it. I didn't think it was necessarily an option. I was at the Combine, and I had met with the Bears... on the side. It wasn't even a formal interview. And they were like, hey, we really like you a lot, but we're not going to do a formal because we don't want teams knowing that we're interested. So I just thought, I was like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, and, you know, my agent had told me, hey, you're going to be late first, early second, kind of in that range. And there was definitely teams that needed tight ends, you know, before them, and kind of how it shook out, and some guys were dropping and other teams, you know, went up to go get some other guys. And I get the phone call, and Jack Smith was on the clock on the TV. And my brother was like, oh, crap, like when the phone rang, thinking that it was Jacksonville. And he was like, well, at least there's no state income tax. And then I answered the phone call, and it ended up being the Bears, and it was pretty surreal, pretty crazy.
I'm a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
What is it about Notre Dame that with their ability to draft or to develop tight ends?
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with the offense that, you know, they've had there, you know, the past 20 years or so. And I also think just the type of guy it attracts. You talk to a lot of the tight ends that have gone through Notre Dame, whether it's like Tyler Eifert, you know, Kyle Rudolph, you know, Durham Smythe's and in Miami right now. Brock Wright, who's in Detroit. We're all, like, very similar. So I think it just kind of attracts, like, that type of person, that type of guy. And, you know, when you're getting recruited there and you have that rich tradition of tight ends, it's hard to say no to.
Start following.
Hard to say no to Notre Dame when they come knocking.
So what's on the line when Notre Dame's playing Ohio State with your quarterback?
I don't know yet. We got to come up with something this week. It's a big game. I mean, Irish have been looking good. Shout out to Sam Hartman. He's been looking great. You know, I think potential Heisman candidate. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. You know, I thought last year was a good game, but hopefully we can pull it out this year.
Wasn't Sam Hartman the quarterback who was on that show with Justin in high school?
Yes. The
same guy?
I think it was.
He went to Wake.
QB1, the high school show that followed Justin in high school. I think Sam Hartman was on that.
If Notre Dame wins, he has to wear a Sam Hartman jersey.
That would be a good one. Okay, I'm going to bring that one up to him. I like that one. I like that. I mean, Sam Hartman's like 28 years old right now.
Yeah, Sam's still playing for Notre Dame, and Justin's in his third NFL season.
I think Sam's my age, and I'm going in, you know, year four already. It's just like, crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
So let's talk about QB1 here. Mm-hmm. Last year, you brought him into the yoga room, right? You guys were doing some little peaceful stretching out.
Yeah, the yoga. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the yoga deal.
So you got a relationship with him, and you guys are in the middle of all of this. How are you kind of just paying attention to him or not paying attention to him, trying to, you know, get him to where he wants to be and the team?
I mean, for me, it's just like, for us, like, surrounding him, like, we just got to be as best as we can around him, you know? You know, we always do our best eliminating all the distractions on the outside and sticking together in the building. And, you know, we have 100% belief in him as an offense and as a team. And, you know, he's our leader for us. So we go as he goes. And, you know, we got to be as good as we can around him. So his confidence, man, like, it's our job to elevate that as much as we can and make plays for him when we need to and all those things, and then let him do those special things when he's able to.
So speaking of that, I wanted to ask you about one of those plays because in Sunday's game, mm-hmm. might have been the best ball Justin's thrown so far this season, in my opinion. That one where he's rolling out to the right, where he hits you along the sideline. I mean, that was a really well thrown ball.
Really well thrown, yeah.
You got a safety coming in who's a ball hawk there on that play. I mean, is that one of those plays where you're just like, damn, he made a good play, I didn't know he was there? Or is there actually kind of a coaching point there as well?
No, I mean, I got to make that play. That's how I put it on myself. You know, we run that play, and they're penetrating upfield with their rushers, so – you know, ideally, I would like to get the ball maybe a little bit sooner so the safety can't come mm-hmm. down and make the play. But Justin's got to outrun those guys first. So he does a great job, obviously, outrunning those guys. I beat my guy in man coverage, come flat towards the ball, and Justin makes a great throw on the sideline. So I just got to be, you know, I always got to expect hits. That's what it's got to be. So quick tuck on the sideline, get my 2 feet in, and then we're moving on to the next play. So, that's just an example of, you know, I got to make that play for him and just some of the special things that he can do on the run when he's moving.
Fans are worried that, like, the amount of heat that's been on him, it's like he's broken. He can't handle that anymore, being in the position. What do you say to people who are
thinking the that? Heat, like, I mean, we're professional athletes. Like, this is what it is. And, you know, I think for guys that have come here from other teams and, you know, they're very shocked about the perception of the, you know, with fans and how fans handle things here. And, it's just like,
I ordered $30 of Taco Bell on Monday.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's a lot.
Not handling it great.
Yeah. And it's a lot, but like, you gotta be able to blank it out as a player, but also know like when things do go right here, how special it's going to be, you know, super passionate fans. I mean, I think this is the number one fan base in the NFL. When you look at it, I mean, New York's got two teams, LA's got two teams. So this is the biggest market with one team. And, It's going to be special when things get rolling here. So it's kind of, you got to take it for what it is when things are bad, but like, understand, like, when things are rolling, things are good, like, you're going to get the payoff for it.
When you're on the road, how much do you notice when, and I don't know how it was in Tampa, I wasn't there, but most of the games I've covered in Tampa, it feels like it's at least 40% Bears fans.
Yeah.
I have a feeling when you guys play the Chargers later this year in LA, that might just be a home game for you.
Yeah.
Like, how much in-game are you even like noticing when you're on the road and it's like, damn, all these Bears fans are here?
Yeah, I think you realize it like, when we're in third down situations and our defense has a third down situation and like the stadium's loud and you're like, oh, like we got a lot of fans here, you know? And then you just see the overwhelming support when you're coming in the stadium. So Bears fans travel well, and you know, that's always really cool to see. And, you know, I think that like in LA, like that's a big game for a lot of Chicago fans to travel to. And I mean, there's a lot of Chicago people that just live in LA, know? So, yeah, it's pretty cool when you travel and you get to see see those fans coming out.
How close do you feel like you guys are? I mean, it's been a rocky start, obviously.
Yeah.
How close do you feel like you guys are to breaking through?
Yeah. Well, I look back at last year, and at this point we were 1-1 last year. And we're 0-2 right now, but I just can't help but look at our roster and say, like, we got a ton of talent, and just more about putting it together. And I think, you know, there's been some shuffling here and there with guys, you know, getting banged up during camp or, you know, these first couple weeks. But it's really just comes down to, for us as players, just executing the job at hand, you know. And as simple and as, like, cliche as that sounds, like, that's really all this game is executing and doing your job each and every play. So, look, I think at the end of the day, like I've been saying, you got to block out what's going on the outside and just come to work every day looking to improve. And, you know, I think with our talent, kind of let that take over with our execution and play style.
What would you say you personally would have to get better at here going forward?
I mean, you name it. It's everything. I think, you know, whether it's protection, you know, when I'm getting called down in protection and they're bringing blitz or pressures, you know, things in my routes, and you know, you can always get more reps with Justin on timing, so that, you know, that relationship's there, and you know, he knows where to expect you at all times. And you know, getting right with these tackles, you know, in the run game. You know, we got a young tackle in Darnell who's extremely talented, and he's great, man. I mean, the dude's physicality is outstanding, and you know, when he really starts to figure out where he's going with all these things and really understands defenses, he's going to be a really special player in this league. So, just get with those guys and keep working. And, you know, I'm confident we can elevate from there.
Hell yeah.
I geek out on the mental side of it. And just like, I always look up to you guys as far as, like, you know, everybody plays sports and you all made it. And sure, you might be more physically talented too, but it's not just that. You were able to get through everything. So I'm reading a book called Talent Doesn't Matter.
Okay.
And it speaks to, like, you don't just go out, like, say if you're going to shoot hoops, you don't just go out there and do the same thing you do every single time. Work on you work exceptionally hard on your biggest weakness until it becomes a strength.
Right.
So that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Is that how, in your mind, at least in some way, how you got to where you're at? And like, and who, I'm wondering, like, who else on the team sort of does that type of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, what do I attribute, like, to where I'm at least today is just, like, first of all, the love of sport. Like, I loved playing baseball growing up, loved playing football. And I wanted to play both as long as I could. And I did, you know, through college, which was awesome. And then at the end, like, I just think, like, the love and passion you have for your sport is what brings you to that next level. And when things are hard and, you know, they're not going your way, like, how do you keep grinding each night? How do you respond on those days? You know, because those are the tough days to come out, you know, whether it's after a loss or after a bad game. And, you know, how do you respond back in practice those that following week? So, but, like, turning your weaknesses into strengths, you know, that's a big deal. And you just little improvements every day. And that's kind of my goal every day that I walk in the building, is just something like, and Jim Dre, my tight ends coach, we do a great job of just, like, focusing on one thing for the day and making sure that's the emphasis. And, you know, over time you have those building blocks and you slowly start to see, you know, where you're going and where you want to be at as a player.
Carb, how long have you been reading that book? I swear you mentioned that like 3 months ago.
I don't get through.
You read a couple of chapters like, and was like, yeah, like I'm reading this book.
He's on page one.
I got to get called out on book pace, which is a very good call out by you. Right.
LeBron is, I always see that. He's always on page one.
It's like
one
he's
of the
reading
book.
A book, yeah. But it's always on page one.
You're 100% right. But listen, I got football games to watch. I got things to read. I got to get ready.
I mean, talent doesn't matter. Is the perfect book for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
much.
That's
amazing.
Well, it just it underlined in there, like, how let's just ask this question then.
Because
Tiger Woods, most talented golfer of all time. Well, his dad made him watch him. The dad was like hitting golf balls when Tiger was 7 months old.
Right.
And then at a year, he puts a putting thing in, and then he coaches him up, and he becomes Tiger. It's not like you just like found golf. So like for you, like how did you find your way here? Was it your whole? I mean, your dad was
I mean, your work ethic is huge. And I think, like, in this league specifically, like, everyone's kind of at that same talent level for the most part. And you got to do little things to separate yourself. And, you know, it's just working on those little details to kind of separate you from the other guy. And that's the difference between, you know, winning and losing oftentimes.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, Carm's been recruiting you to the softball team already. I know.
Yeah.
You got to understand, he talks about softball more than the Bears on the
show.
In tennis.
In tennis.
Well.
tennis.
I love tennis.
You play tennis?
I'm a big tennis guy.
Cool. Yeah, I just got into tennis this past offseason.
Let's go.
Okay.
There we go.
Offseason, let's go.
All right, let's do it. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Romance is growing.
But I'm going to advise against not – I'm going to say don't join the softball team. I think you probably have bigger priorities during the football season than the semifinals next week.
Yeah.
There's no bigger priority.
Look, I already made a commitment, so we'll see.
I think this. How's this? If you guys go down, you beat Kansas City, and you don't get hurt, nothing happens, you feel great, I think you should come out on Monday night and DH for us.
We'll see where it goes.
Okay. We'll see where it goes.
There we go. Well, regardless, we're really excited to have Cole here, part of the CHGO family this season. We're going to have a lot of fun, and he's going to be joining us throughout the season for some long-form interviews. It's going to be great. We know the team's going to start winning some games, too, and turn this thing around. We have some wins to talk about. So, Cole, thanks so much for being here today.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
We're looking forward to it.
Let's go.
Let's do it.